Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Today we begin a brand new series, and it's on the subject of grace. You know, there is no other place to where grace is needed more than our marriages. And since marriage and sex are two sides of the same coin, we desperately need to learn and apply grace in our daily lives. Now, for my single friends listening, please don't think that this message doesn't apply to you, because it does. It applies actually to all of us, and we can use these principles in our friendships, our family relationships, at work, at school. There's no place that grace is not welcome. Last month, I had the opportunity to talk with a friend and colleague of mine. His name is Dr. Tim Kimmel. Tim is the founder and the executive director of Family Matters, whose goal is to see families transformed by God's grace into instruments of reformation and restoration. Tim loves it when churches and families are healthy and strong, and he loves it even more when they work as a team. He believes the best way to pass on saving faith and a transformed life is within the nurturing confines of a loving home. To help others achieve this, he's developed resources and conferences and media tools to equip and encourage parents and grandparents, churches, and couples. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss three things. Number one, how marriage is the proving ground for our own character. Number two, how Jesus Christ actually proposed to his church. And number three, the very definition of what love is. Well, here's today's lesson. It's titled, The Missing Ingredient in Marriage. Hey, Tim.
Dustin, it's always good to sit across microphones from you.
We chatted back in March of 2014.
Yeah.
When your book, Grace-Filled Marriage, came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been over a year. And one of the things that we talked about, and for those of you listening, that's shows 65 and 66. And we just chatted about how most marriages don't struggle from a lack of love.
No.
They struggle with a lack of grace.
The grace is a missing ingredient in marriages that go south. Even marriages that stay together but never even come close to what they were supposed to be when it comes to a love story. And that's because, you know, love, to a certain extent, is a foregone conclusion if two people are going to get married. And you've been at weddings, I've been at weddings, mm-hmm. and you sit there and you can just sense, boy, these two are crazy about each other. This is exciting. And then you meet the same couple 5-10 years later, same couple. They had all this love, and then you think, wow, boy, something washed that pretty smile off their faces there. And, I believe they're still in love, but boy, it sure looks weathered and worn and weary and bored, and boring. Mm. and so you think, well, what happened? Well, there was no question they loved, but the grace is a different dynamic here that we're bringing in, and you know what, Dustin? I think, I just think that we kid ourselves to think that love is all you need. Remember, I'm old enough to remember the Beatles.
I remember that song.
And all you need is love. And then they broke up.
Is it more than love then? Was the song wrong?
Well, it's just that I think, you see, there's a difference between my love for Darcy and God's love for Darcy.
Wow.
And God's love for Darcy comes bathed in grace. Mm. And so we as human beings have a capacity to love because we're made in God's image. And the shortest definition of God in the Bible is God is love. That's the irreducible essence of God. He is love. And so because we're made in his image, even if we never accepted him as our Savior, we still have that capacity to love. But it's a flawed capacity. it's a limited capacity. And so you get in the real, you know, we get past the honeymoon, everything's fine. We come back and we still have the same junky car. And I have my same dumb habits that I had before I got married. And I didn't, you know, I believed in gravity when you come to undressing. So there, that pile's fine. Well, that Darcy didn't believe it. She didn't think that's a good idea.
Right.
She likes a bed that's made every morning after you get out. Well, why? I'm just going to mess it up tonight. So we had all this adjustment. Then you throw some kids into the mix. And, you know, kids are an inexhaustible cause. So mm-hmm. you're just whipped all the time. And so it just goes without saying, listen, love is work. Marriage is work. It's good work. But anybody who thinks that this is supposed to be a cakewalk is, well, they're not paying attention.
Yeah. And we've bought into this. It's not a lie that love is all you need. It's faith, hope, and love,
mm-hmm.
and love is the greatest. But the reality mm-hmm. is, we don't really understand. In fact, until I met you, Tim, I didn't understand the desperate need for grace. In fact, I had a couple come up to me just a few weeks ago, and they were asking me about the ministry of Seven Places and about all the work that I do with healthy sexuality, and they were kind of interested in that. And they said, "Okay, well, tell us." The one thing, what's the one thing if you had to go back to over and over and over again that a couple would need inside a counseling session? And I thought for a second and
boom.
It's grace.
It's grace. Grace.
It's this undeserved
yeah.
favor.
Right.
Or it's just me giving you something that you don't deserve.
I don't deserve, but I desperately need.
Desperately.
That's
need that.
Grace. And there's a whole, you know, everybody has, you know, we have a lot of different definitions we throw out. And no matter what the definition, somebody will say, yeah, but. Well, forget all that stuff. Look, if we're going to play that game and nitpick the whole thing apart, we'll never get there. The point is that God came along and gave all of us something we desperately needed but didn't deserve. I tell in a book, and I can't remember whether we talked about this on your last podcast, but... when you're with a group of couples that are married, it's fun to go around and just, hey, tell me your engagement story, the proposal. Tell me the proposal story. Who popped the question? What were the conditions? And so forth. And some people are into these, you know, grandstanding things. I'm in the more private stuff. But anyway, they tell their story. And I said, you know, one thing I think we could all agree on, though, is that one lousy place to stage an engagement and pop the question would be a public execution.
Yeah.
But that's exactly where God went in the form of his son to ask for our hand in marriage. He didn't have, he couldn't get down on one knee because they were going to nail him to a cross. Mm. He didn't have precious gold. They had steel. He didn't have a bunch of friends standing nearby. They were standing at a distance, scared to death. The people up close were mocking him. And yet that was a dowry price for us to gain forgiveness for our sins. And he laid it all on the line. So that is grace right there that is, yeah, obviously showing itself in love. But I like to look at grace as like the Kevlar that you put around the love. You know, the Kevlar is a bulletproof vest
mm-hmm.
that our soldiers and police and wear. They wear that. And it's the bulletproof vest that you put around the love, because my love on my own without that kind of protection is going to get beaten down. Dustin, I believe that we don't realize how much we create, we really have a quid pro quo arrangement going with the people we love. We love them because they love us back.
Right.
And then we're more inclined to love them more, and they love us back more. Everything's great. But what about somebody that suddenly doesn't think you're that clever anymore or annoyed all the time? Well, you know, we have to deal with this with our kids.
Sure.
When you're a parent, they go through those stages where they're the smartest person in the room and you have lost every little bit of intelligence and respect in their mind because you happen to expect, you have expectations like do your homework and feed the dog and go to bed and things like that. So it's just normal. But grace is there. But I think marriage, though, tests us like nothing else does. In fact, I believe marriage is the test kitchen for redemptive love like no other place. And that's why I think, you know, parents are commanded to disciple their kids. But when it comes to love, well, now in a marriage, you know, he says, here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to, Jesus says to us husbands, I want you to love your wife like I love the church. And, well, anyway, life gets tough.
Well, I think being able to receive grace is one thing, but to be able to give it when someone doesn't deserve it, that's where God builds our character, correct? It's this is the proving ground and the testing of our obedience, so to speak, to Christ. So how do we give grace when you're in the thick of it, Tim? When the kids are acting out in Walmart and you're having a bad day with your spouse and your boss is mad at you and it's just how do you get through that? I don't personally
because I'm Tim Kimmel and I'm a human being. I walk on feet of clay and I'm an idiot. But Jesus can through me. One of the things that's vital in the ability to have God's grace become an application, an app that you operate your life in, is recognizing your limitations from the beginning. Do you know, one of the things I think has made AA effective over the years, Alcoholics Anonymous, is that one of the very first things you would say at an AA meeting, now I'm not an alcoholic, but if I was there and I was an alcoholic, that would be the first thing they want to hear me say out of my life. Hi, I'm Tim, I'm an alcoholic. Why do they want to hear that first? They want to say, don't play any games with me.
Right.
Because if you think you can actually manage all this stuff, then you're done. And we're done with you because you're stuck. You're deluding yourself. And so for us as Christians, even we need to come and recognize I, left to my own devices, can be as selfish as anybody else, as self-protective as anybody else, and vindictive as anybody else. It may not be my modus operandi for most life, but the fact is I'm capable of it. I need help. And look at the reality. Where did this all start? What's the biggest thing we need? We needed a savior. It started right there. Why do we need a savior? Because we were lost and we couldn't find ourselves. We couldn't fix ourselves. And so it gets there. Now, I think where does the human agency come into here? If we're not disciplined about this, we're kidding ourselves. It's just like in living a sexually pure life. If I'm not pursuing the only one who is pure, which is Jesus,
right,
and being deliberate about this, then I'm kidding myself to think that he's just automatically going to show up like some genie out of a bottle. And so that's where I think the spiritual disciplines come in. Good marriages are work. Good parenting is work. Good friendship is work. But it's good, noble work. It's transformative work.
Those are some very wise words from my friend, Dr. Tim Kimmel. If we're not pursuing the only one who is pure, and that's Jesus Christ, and being deliberate about it, man, we're just kidding ourselves. Man, that's good. That's great insight. That's great counsel. You know, marriage is good. It is noble. It is transformative work. So let me ask you, what aspect of your marriage are you going to work on right now after listening to this podcast? What element of your marriage, maybe it's a friendship or brother or sister, maybe it's a coworker at your job, but what part of you can you extend more grace to? How do you extend more of you in grace, through grace, to these people? In tomorrow's podcast, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Tim Kimmel, and we're going to learn how a grace-filled marriage can lead to grace-based parenting. If you would like to learn more about Tim and the Ministry of Family Matters, you can visit familymatters.net. Well, speaking of grace, as I look over my shoulder to my old addiction days, it was really easy for me to say to myself, you know, well, God's going to forgive me. God's going to forgive me. That's what he does. He's a forgiving God. And of course, I would tell myself that after I chose to act out in sin. And it's so easy for us, isn't it? It's so easy for us to turn God's forgiveness and His grace into a license to sin. It's called licentiousness. You know, the Apostle Paul asked us an amazing question in Romans 6. He said, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Well, of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Wow, that's a piercing question, isn't it? How can we continue to live in sin? How can we continue to look at porn, for example, if we've died to it? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he called this attitude cheap grace. Well, we don't have to. We can actually make godly choices today to block pornography, for example, from all of our digital devices. We can make the choice to keep the evil out of our home. So if you don't have a current filtering software system on all of your devices, let me recommend to you Covenant Eyes filtering software. I've been using Covenant Eyes for years. You can visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you can receive a 30-day free trial of their software. It's not going to cost you anything. All you have to do is put my full name in the promo box. And when you sign up, you're also supporting the Purity Ministry of Seven Places and this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. If you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly Grace Group. It's a community group, and we focus on healthy sexuality. It's for men and women. Everyone is welcome, and you're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We're in Building A, Room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor, and you can email me your questions. I would love to hear from you at DustinDanielsRadio.com. 1 Corinthians 4:20 reads, "The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power." And that power, my friend, is the very name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.